Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? What up, world? My God, did we get not only, first off, welcome to the Bloody Knuckles Show, post-fight, UFC 199. We're not only going to talk about 199 tonight, we're going to talk about groundbreaking news and two groundbreaking news topics, spend a lot of time on that, and just stuff that changed the sport that we love. I mean, this is just stuff happened tonight that this is why we all love MMA. I'm almost speechless all the chain of events that have happened tonight. But welcome to UFC 199 post-fight show, aka/ the Brock Lesnar return and Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz is official show. Yes, it's the Bloody Knuckles Show. We are here for anybody who didn't watch the event, for anybody out there who just wants to get a little what happened, for anyone who wants to get opinions, for anybody who wants to hear about the groundbreaking news. We are here and live and ready to go. And I'm not going to waste any time because we got so much to talk about. On the line with me tonight, I got the man, the myth, the legend. I got to apologize to him. Andrew, you are my homie. I'm sorry I was getting so angry earlier. We were both trying to stream, and I could not find one. I thought Andrew had one, and I was like, why is this man not giving me a stream? And truthfully, it was just horrible for the streaming community. It really just woke me up. I said, you know what, I'm never streaming a UFC again.
It's not a sick one. Not a sick card like this. Sorry,
frustrated. That's the thing. Like, I always card, but I got screwed over on the last, like, even the Fox Sports event. And then the fact that I got screwed over on this event, I only saw a little bit of it, but, you know, now I just realize I think the UFC is just getting too good, and the events are too good right now, the sport is too good, and that's what we're going to touch on because, you know, the fact that Conor McGregor's back and the biggest star pay-per-view-wise other than Conor McGregor is back, and the UFC is just so healthy and putting on these epic cards. It's just proven to me that it's time to just start buying UFCs. But welcome to the show, my yin to the yang, motherfucking Percy Love, a.k.a. the man, the myth, the legend, a.k.a. the man who taught Michael Bisping how to fight. It's Mr. Paycheck himself, Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie? So much to talk about.
Oh, yes. Yo, what it do? Very, very excited to be back with the second show. And for all those that want to listen to how poor my predictions personally were, good God, Ryan, I think the only prediction, I may have gotten like two, and one of them was Cruz, which was pretty simple. I was happy with that one, Ryan. But however, what a day in MMA.
What a day.
Groundbreaking news, first of all day, you know, just a little walkthrough about my day today. So Andrew Meredith, typical Saturday fashion. I always wake up about, 9 o'clock. Your boy had a nice little bowl of oatmeal, an apple. And then I fell right back to sleep. And I didn't wake up till 3. Which is pretty hilarious, in typical, as Ryan can attest, typical Andrew Meredith fashion.
Typical.
So when I wake up, I have like a million freaking notifications from Bleacher Report, right? And as I'm scrolling through, I see, Conor, Nate, rumor. Well, first the news I see today, just have to say, folks, we did lose an icon today. Very sad. Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. Arguably the most iconic fighter of all time. The things he did inside and outside the ring. Just a truly amazing person. and a kind of a once in a generation type of dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never watched We Are Kings, the documentary with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, if you really want to see Ali at his peak and one of the best documentaries of all time, Ali truly just something we'll never get again. I mean, everyone talks about Conor McGregor and these people. Muhammad Ali was the one who started it all. I know there's guys that were like him, but no one is truly like Muhammad Ali. And that documentary right there is a must-watch for anybody on this day. Watch the Muhammad Ali fights and definitely watch the documentaries. Like, just there's so many, but We Are Kings is a beautiful one with him and George Foreman.
I'm definitely going to check that out, Ryan, maybe after this podcast. But, you know, and we're going to cover this more, folks, in the last 15 minutes. These two news topics after this, we're going
to
get into the meat and potatoes. But, you know, really quick, of course, as we know, Brock Lesnar returning at UFC 200. Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor officially slated for UFC 202. However, to the meat and potatoes, UFC 199. Now, Ryan, the only part of this card I didn't watch besides the, you know, the two fights we wanted to see the most, but I did not see the UFC Fight Pass prelims. However, I didn't miss anything good because my boy, the Korean stun gun, got knocked the fuck out. Maybe it's time for Bellator, Dong-Young Kim. But,
yeah.
Ryan, just to kick it off, I do have to say, I'm not 100% sure how much of the prelims you got to watch. I know you're at work.
Yeah,
mostly
on the main card, but yeah, we can start.
Just really quick, from top to bottom.
How did old Clay Guida do?
That was hilarious. Top to bottom, real quick. This was the best card I have seen, definitely the best card in 2016.
And we missed the fuck out of the prelims yesterday.
You know, it's funny, just one of those things where, you know, the fights didn't look, some of the fights didn't look that great on paper.
And also,
goddamn,
I didn't know how
they delivered. Okay, so, number one, first, Clay Guida, you know, he came out, Ryan, he looked like 30 years younger. He was looking amazing, dominating, what was his name, Ortega, just going balls to the wall, killing it. Round three, Clay Guida still killing him. Honestly, this is the best I've seen. I thought it was 09 again with how Clay Guida was fighting. It was amazing. Joe Rogan the whole time saying, this is the best I've ever seen Clay Guida. He looks amazing. Well, in kind of hilarious fashion, Ortega lands a knee to the head in the third round with a couple minutes left. And knocks out and defeats Clay Guida. Epic fight, but very, very hilarious. That was a great fight. Some of the other prelim fights that we got, Bruce Leroy, another fighter I love, Alex Sakaris, he dominated dumbass Cole Miller, got the victory.
Probably had his best performance in the cage.
So he got the victory. And, of course, as we predicted, Cole Miller would lose.
Quick,
you know, a guy like Bruce Leroy was on the Ultimate Fighter, a dude I've always liked just because he's a scrappy kid. How big of a victory over Jim Miller was this? And, you know, are we going to eventually maybe, is this a fight that can, you know, lead to, you know, this is kind of one of those early jump off fights. So what's next for Alex Sakaris after this victory over Cole Miller?
Yeah, we got so much to touch on the main card that I don't want to spend too much time on these prelims, as good as they were. But I got to stay with this kid. I believe he did lose to Uriah Faber.
Yeah, he did. He got choked out.
And I believe he did go up in a weight class. I think this fight was definitely at 145 because BJ Penn was supposed to, you know, be on this fight. So really looking at him on maybe he's back at his natural weight class. We see a lot of guys.
Yo, I'm about to quit buy a pack of cigarettes, so take the mic for a little bit. Sorry, folks.
All right, yeah. This guy, you know, he put it on mute, please. He basically went up in a weight class, and, you know, judging by the fact that when he fought the best fighter available, he did lose. I don't see him doing much at 145. I just think that weight class is a bunch of killers. We saw Max Holloway tonight, how good he looked. Guys like that, I just don't think Bruce Leroy can compete with. But fights like this is where he's going to make his bread and butter, and there's nothing wrong with that. When you're a young fighter and you're really not ever going to be at that championship level, make your money on that undercard. And, you know, make those fight of the night bonuses. That's what you really should be aiming for if you're not a championship-level contender. But like Andrew said, the prelims were absolutely stacked, and it was a beautiful night on the prelims. And then the main card, it just kept on rolling. And I got to say, before I touch on Dustin Ortiz, because I didn't get to watch that fight.
Oh, you mean Dustin Poirier?
Yeah, Dustin Poirier. I keep saying Ortiz, sorry. We'll touch on that in a second, Andrew. I'll let you throw out what you saw. But I got to say, with Max Holloway, I got to watch the fight.
War.
Max Holloway is an absolute, and what I was saying is basically Alex Vicarez, you know, he's a guy who just needs to make his money on the prelims and stuff like that. There's no real bad thing about that, you know. There's plenty of guys throughout their career that have made fight of the night bonuses on those prelims and made a great career. I just don't see him going any further than that. But other than that, just touching off on the main card, I got to say Max Holloway.
Real quick before the main card, just have to say, so it was one thing that stood out. There were a couple upsets besides that one, but James Vick, the undefeated fighter from The Ultimate Fighter, was like 10-0, got destroyed. Beautiful KO by this dude named Darish. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
He's a monster.
And then an even scarier monster, Ryan, a girl who I didn't know much about, really tells me I need to get my
– Max Holloway.
Oh, Max Holloway is a fucking man. But Holloway. But one thing I was going to say, so Jessica Penne fought Jessica Andrade. I had no idea that Jessica Andrade was once ranked in the top five for 135. Ryan, she – absolutely mauled Jessica Penne. It was scary. She is so beastly, and I've never seen a fighter look that dominant. She has put the entire 115-pound division on notice after that victory, in my opinion. She looked too great. She's so jacked and strong. She was too small for 135, but now she's, like, you know, kind of big for 115 as far as strength goes. I have never seen such a brutal mauling. It was so bad Jessica Penne got knocked out on her feet. Just wanted to add that in there. Just all the prelims were great KOs, except for Alex Sakaris, who it was a good decision. But, you know, they were exciting KOs. Unlike the last UFC event, you know, where we were kind of disappointed in it. There are no wars. But all in all, this is a UFC event where I say every fight was great. Now, on to the main card, my friend, I do apologize.
Oh, yeah, it's all good. Yeah, definitely, I'm pretty sad I missed those prelims. But I got to say, I have to start with Max Holloway on this main card. And we've got to get to this main card because we have other stuff to talk about. And it's just so much stuff happened on this main card, too. You got to say, this is the best UFC event in a very, very long time. Probably since the
MMA
Conor McGregor Mendes
event. Yeah, this was great. Did fighting in general, maybe even sports event in general, Ryan, amazing.
But Max Holloway, clearly, I think this is like six fights straight for him. He fought a guy who's already fought Jose Aldo. A guy in which Jose Aldo boringly got a decision, squeaked by. I mean, Aldo dominated, but it was a boring fight. He kind of did nothing towards the end of the fight. And Holloway not only beat Lamas' ass, but at the end of the fight, he put his hands down and he said, "Let's go." And they had one of the best exchanges I've seen in a long time.
Oh,
both guys,
great.
With 15 or 20 seconds left in the fight, agreed to just let it go. And that shows Max Holloway, the Hawaiian warrior, after the fight saying, "Let's bring the UFC to Hawaii," which is a no-brainer because Robbie Lawler's from Hawaii. you might have BJ Penn's final fight. Why not do a huge fight in Hawaii with Max Holloway, maybe getting a shot at the belt? But basically, this guy, he has that warrior spirit, and he's the only guy that, you know, obviously Nate Diaz, but at 145, he's the guy that made Conor McGregor go all three rounds. Conor McGregor knocked everybody else out. And we all slept on Max Holloway, but he's so big for that division. He's so dominant. I think it's clear cut. If Conor McGregor, and I would love to see that rematch one day, I pray that Conor eventually comes to his senses and goes back to 145. But if we don't see that, I think that the best course of action is Max Holloway gets the winner of Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar. And if it's Frankie Edgar, it's obvious, you know, they're going to put him in New York. But if it is Jose Aldo, put it in Hawaii. Make Aldo go on the road. And I believe Max Holloway definitely deserved, you know, deserves a title shot after tonight. Andrew, do you have anything to touch on with Max Holloway before we move on to Dustin Poirier?
Ryan, I agree 1,000% with you. And the one other thing I wanted to add, this was the type of fight that UFC 198 was missing. Because, you know, there are a lot of finishes, but this was a war.
Card that it was missing.
But, I mean, there were a lot of finishes in it, but, like, you remember, I remember us specifically detailing that there was no war. There were a couple exchanges. I was watching this fight with a group of people. We were streaming it. The fight was, you know, before my stream completely shit out and I wasn't able to watch anything, I did get to see this fight. Even round two, just the way they were going back and forth, it was just an amazing war. And that's, you know, these are the types of things, Ryan, that, you know, turns a good card to a great card to an epic card, an epic card to a legendary card. And loved every second of it, and I agree 1,000%. Max Holloway does deserve the title shot.
Oh, definitely. Andrew, you got to see the Dustin Poirier fight.
Mm-hmm.
Break it down, my friend.
There's not much to, you know, break down other than Dustin Poirier breaking faces. This fight ended in the
boy would come through.
It did. First round, and it was the first round, you know. That was a great position. Ryan, he's been on the tear at lightweight. TKO round one, knocked him out with punches. Looked like the way better fighter. Just kind of came out and took care of business. And things like this, you know, and I'm going to call it the Conor McGregor effect. Ryan, you discussed this earlier. Kind of the same thing that happened with Max Holloway. But it's kind of like the same thing that happened with Max Holloway. You know what I mean? He lost to Conor, like something Conor's touched on. You know, someone loses to him, and then they go on like a 6-fight win streak.
They get a touch of greatness.
They do. And that pop to the side of the temple that the diamond got from from Conor really did take him to the next level. And right along with me, when you see things like that, it really makes you stop and appreciate how good Conor is. From a guy who did this to, you know, Bobby Green's he's no slouch. He's a great fighter. And just his ability to come in there and dominate him, you know, makes you think, you know, Conor really is super special.
Yeah. Andrew, think about this. Conor, everyone talks about how weak his road was to Jose Aldo. I mean, not only did he beat Chad Mendez, but now that you look back at it, Dustin Poirier absolutely dominated him. And then he absolutely dominated Max Holloway with one leg. And those are two guys that are dominating their divisions right now. I mean, the McGregor run, when you look back at it, is one of the best for a lightweight fighter, one of the best runs I can remember in a long time, especially after knocking out Aldo that quick. But this isn't the McGregor show yet. We'll go ahead and move on. Dustin Poirier, huge victory. I got to say,
what's next for him, Ryan?
155 is such a buzzsaw.
The shark tank, baby. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, it's a shark tank. I'm going to say what's next, Khabib. I think he should fight Khabib. Khabib, you know, he hasn't got the proper challenge yet. I know Tony Ferguson was scheduled. I brought him up last night. He's not 170, 155. he was scheduled to fight Khabib. So I'm going to say Ferguson or Khabib because Poirier is on such a win streak. He needs to jump into a top five fighter, and let's see where he really is at. I mean, that could be, you know, throwing him to a slaughter, but let's see where Khabib is at after this injury, and Khabib needs a big victory before he gets the title shot. So I think Dustin Poirier is ready, and if he gets that victory, then you're talking about a title shot. So I don't think you just sit on this guy. I think you need to accelerate him to the next level. Top five fighter for sure. He needs to fight a top five guy at lightweight. This point in his career, there's no time to sit around and just keep fighting and fighting for no reason. He needs to have that title, you know, in his view.
Oh, yeah, Ryan. I agree. And then I agree 1,000%. Get that top five fight. Make it
and
happen.
And Bobby Green, man, you got to say that this is tough. I'm calling for it. I don't know if they ever had the official matchup yet. They might have had it already, Bobby Green, Michael Johnson. But if they haven't had it, I definitely want to see that fight. They're both coming
off. Yeah, I think they did.
Homeboy that just beat Anthony Pettis, I would love to see Dustin Poirier fight him. And
ooh,
I would also love to see Dustin Poirier, Bobby Green fight Anthony Pettis to see Anthony Pettis is at right now. And both guys coming off the losses.
Ryan, I love all those matchups, and we all know Dana is listening, so don't be surprised if we see it. That's a great fight, right, Ryan? I do love that one. Maybe a little bit more than the Khabib, because I do think Khabib's going to wrestle, fuck him. Like, I get that matchup kind of makes more sense ranking styles. But, like, for an entertainment, Ryan, I can't think of a better one. Barbosa
yeah,
for Poirier
Edson
would be
and
great.
Poirier are both on the rise. You know, they're both
that would
on
be
the
great.
Rise right now.
Great. And then, Ryan, moving along, another fight. You know, it's kind of funny because I alluded to, you know, when I was talking about this fight, kind of the Shogun Corey Anderson as far as Hector Dan, where, my heart wants me to pick, you know, Shogun or Dan, but my head was like, no, this is too much of a mismatch. I can't do it. And in both cases, Ryan, my heart was right, and I loved it. First things first about Hector. I'm starting to think the only reason why he was so good in Bellator is because he was crazy off the juice, and he was fighting in World Series of Fight. Wait, which was it Bellator or World
he was
Series
in Bellator.
Fight, Ryan?
I wouldn't say he fought bums all the time, but
no,
he was
but
definitely
the juice. The juice, and you know, we saw him without it. And Dan, so happy for Dan. I didn't hear all the post fight, but this could have very well been Dan's last fight. And you know, really to put a feather in the cap of your Hall of Fame career,
hey man, I wouldn't mind Dan Michael Bisping one more time.
I wouldn't mind either. Let our boy Dan get that strap. But Ryan, that Hector knock, I went absolute crazy. I didn't think Dan Henderson could still throw an H-bomb anymore. And Hector, I'm sorry, dude, but that is the one thing you need to be ready for when you're fighting Dan Henderson. And we didn't, you know what I mean? But just to sequence of Dan, to hit him with the head kick, then a little back elbow, and finish him off with the H-bomb, it was beautiful, masterful.
Dan might
art.
Be... Dan might be the best knockout artist of all time if you really look back at it. At his age, he's not – it's a weird comparison because Bernard Hopkins is not the knockout artist, but Dan, he reminds me of Bernard Hopkins.
Like, yeah, both 44, Ryan.
He seems to not age. And one thing about Dan Henderson is – you know, he just wants to fight. You know, he loses, he wins, he loses. But this fight right here, I know Hector Lombard has been in a slump, but a lot of people do not want to fight Hector Lombard.
No.
I remember at 170, Tyron Woodley was like, nah, I don't want any piece of Hector Lombard. Dan Henderson, the veteran, the old man, he took that fight. A fight that a lot of people would be scared to take. And Dan Henderson, right now, I got to say, he can knock anybody out at 185. It is
possible. Yeah.
And I got to say also, Dan Henderson, Anderson Silva, too. It's a fight a lot of people have always wanted to see. This is opening a lot of doors for Dan Henderson. I don't think he should. I mean, it would be nice to see him walk away in the sunset with this big knockout victory. But
no, I want Dan Henderson too. That would be perfect, Ryan. I mean, and you know, Ryan, going into that fight with this victory of Dan, that was actually going to be my question for you. You kind of partially answered it, but you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, Danny was in a little bit of a slump, losing here and there. I think he got destroyed by Vitor. I was going to ask you, how big of a win is this, though? Yeah, that's a big difference, the Vitor TRT. how big of a victory, though, is this? Not for, like, you know, I want to say, not like, you know, you just touched on how big this was, you know, for you know, his current, like, you know, setting up next fight and where he is, but looking at the whole aspect of his career, how big of a victory was for this, you know, when, you know, later, 5 years from now, we're looking at careers and records of all the greats for him to get this victory. How big was it for that? And then the other question I wanted to ask you, flip side for Hector, I believe he's on the two-fight losing streak now. You know, he's lost two fights, too, after he tested positive for steroids. You know, he was, you know, on a great streak. Of course, he would be on the roids, but now, you know, he's falling through the cracks. Is it time for, you know, for him to go back to Bellator? What's your next move? If you're the UFC, you know, what's your next move? Is he close to being on the chopping block? Or, you know, do you keep him around? He is, you know, athletic specimen, and people are going to tune in to watch him fight. You know, I'm sure he can get some draws, but, you know, so the questions were, how big of a fight is this for, you know, looking at Dan's legacy career, and then what's next for Hector?
I got to say, Dan, people are going to say this is crazy, but when he knocked out Wanderlei Silva, one of the best fighters in the world at the time in Pride, when he was coming out, you know, when he was about to come into the UFC, I almost compare this to that because the tables were so much against Dan. Everyone was saying, Dan, you need to retire. Dan, you're done. And he comes out and he throws the H-bomb like he did against Wanderlei Silva. I almost compare it to that moment, basically. That's how big the fight was for Dan. This proves everything for Dan. It proves how good he is. You know, the guy just doesn't age. He found him, you know,
he's
found a few.
He's looked the same in the last 10 years.
I mean, look at Randy Couture. All those guys from Oregon, you know, obviously Chael Sonnen, Matt Lin, all those guys from that team are just so goddamn tough. And, you know, Dan Henderson, just one of the tough, I believe maybe the toughest of all time up there with Randy Couture, because Randy came back at such an old age. But Dan Henderson, we don't know. This could be that spring, like Randy Couture coming back. Knocking out a guy like Hector Lombard is no small feat. Anyone who's going to make it be like, oh, Hector's 170 or this or that. No, Hector Lombard is an absolute animal. The fact that Dan did this is one of the biggest fights of his career. And real quick, Hector Lombard.
No one picked him. No one thought he was going to win this year.
Nobody in their right mind, unless you're a huge Dan Henderson fan, big Dan Henderson. There's some guy in Oregon who made a lot of money. Let's just put it that way. Sales
and probably some guy in London, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I will touch on that. The UK right now is about to become huge for the UFC. But let me just say Hector Lombard real quick before we touch on the two biggest fights and maybe the greatest of all time, or not all time, greatest right now. But Hector Lombard, no, you can't cut him because – he's an exciting fighter, in my opinion.
He's a draw.
He's a guy you could throw on Fox. People are going to look at him. They're going to want to watch him fight. And I just believe, like, you know, if he comes out and gets knocked out in his next fight, then you got to start thinking about it. But he's a guy that's always dangerous. He just needs to get back down to 170, even though he just got dominated at 170. This is a guy who maybe needs a like a change of scenery. But he's crazy in the gym. It's hard for
Greg
coaches to get control of him.
Chops.
It is. Yes, sir. I was about to say it. Greg Jackson, this is your new project. Turn Hector Lombard around because no one can get to control this guy's head. He fights too crazy. He needs to use the Olympic caliber wrestling that he has. Greg Jackson, paging you. We have a little Cuban beast to give you. Andrew, Dominic Cruz tonight, to me, he has the best movement I've ever seen in a UFC cage. The way he eludes, the way he moves his feet, the way he gets out of the way of punches. Uriah Faber knows Dominic Cruz more than anybody. And Uriah Faber, other than that Aldo fight, I don't know if he's ever been completely swept in a fight, 5-0. But this was a complete domination and one of the fights I actually got to see a little bit of.
Made it look easy.
Dominic Cruz not only beat Uriah Faber, but everything Uriah Faber, this is how good he is. It's almost Anderson Silva style. Everything Uriah Faber said coming into the fight, you're a decisionator. You have no knockout power. You do nothing. You're not aggressive. All you do is try to wrestle. You're not going to wrestle me this time. Dominic Cruz not only outboxed Uriah, he out-wrestled him, but he knocked him down twice. He almost finished him, but he showed the patience. He didn't go in there crazy, but he still almost knocked Uriah out twice. He got the takedown advantages. And Uriah, the only big moment he had in the whole fight, it was pretty funny. He picked Dominic up and slammed him. And then right away, everybody was stunned. Like, everyone was like, what the fuck just happened?
Wait, what round did that happen in?
I believe it was the second or third round after he got rocked. Uriah Faber slams him. And then right away, Dominic Cruz sweeps him, showing how good Dominic Cruz is, even on his back. And gets on top of Uriah's favor. Dominic Cruz also got Uriah's back in this fight. And also Uriah Faber's shorts kept coming off. The referee kept having to adjust them. Joe Rogan said something like, we might have saw something there we don't like. Uriah Faber is done, ladies and gentlemen. He got embarrassed tonight. This man needs to take a step back and just start training these fighters he keeps talking about. Cody Garbrandt might be the future star, maybe, and also Paige VanZant. Maybe he should concentrate on them. He got completely dominated, and other than that TJ Dillashaw rivalry that we all want to see happen, I just don't see what else Uriah Faber can do. Andrew, I mean, just first off, after beating TJ Dillashaw and now dominating Uriah Faber, how good, you know, how big is this for the UFC to have such a dominant champion back and healthy and Dominic Cruz? And also, how do you pair him up? Like, how do you match him up versus Mighty Mouse? How do you, he already beat him once. How do you think that super fight would go after seeing him dominate Uriah Faber in such a big fashion?
You know, I was actually talking with my one other friend about this today. He didn't know a lot about Dominic Cruz. And, you know, as I was talking about it, it made myself realize this. You know, the only person that gets in Dominic Cruz's way is Dominic Cruz. I mean, the only reason why Cruz lost the belt in the first place is because he had terrible luck and was injured for 3 straight years. Another thing about Dominic Cruz, too, he's great on the mic. You know, this guy is a pure talent.
Great
I
motor.
Mean,
great.
You know, and it's kind of funny because you're looking at him, Ryan, you're almost like, who is this little nerd? And he's an absolute beast, and he's funny, and he's got his swag. But he was a dominant champion.
The nerd
before. Right, he did. He was a dominant champion.
Dominic
before.
Cruz, Uriah Faber's living in high school. It's like he's hanging out with all his little high school buddies in his gym, and he's a big jock. How funny
is
that? Looking at
it's
Uriah.
Hilarious. And, you know, it's even funnier with the rivalry, because Uriah, you know, was a bully to him. You know, I remember he beat him really quick, and it was like Dominic Cruz's first fight ever. Uriah never respected him, talked mad shit. They really don't like each other. And wow, you know, Dominic sure does, you know, I mean, who got the major last laugh in that one? Has owned him, completely owns him. And, you know, I didn't get to see a whole lot of the fight because this is where streaming
kills.
Me too, because this is where the streaming, this is where me and Ryan's took a night turn. We actually got to an argument about it because we were both really pissed off just about not being able to get the event. This card was so great. It was working perfectly, but Dana got us. I got to see like 30 seconds of this fight, Ryan, but what I saw was Dominic Cruz just straight destroying him. And it's funny because Cruz is so much bigger than Uriah, who is like a little midget trying to hit a guy. And I watched it and I was just like, Uriah has no chance. He's too small. He can't even reach him. Like, it's pretty funny. I don't know if Uriah's fist can reach Dominic Cruz's head with the height difference, Ryan. But
is Uriah going to cut off a foot and go to 125 and try to get a belt there?
You know, Ryan, when you bring up Uriah, because I have no idea, you know, what he should do at this point, Ryan. And honestly, when we think about it, I think Uriah Faber might be one of the most overrated fighters. Just because, Ryan, you remember, he lost his belt when he was, you know, one of the best pound for pound in the world, and that was
right
all the way back in 08
right
or 09.
Right.
But when he originally lost, and he's never been back since. He's never been able to get that strap again. He consistently beats up the known names of the division,
yeah,
but he can't, you know, he can't beat anyone who's worth a shit. So, you know, Uriah, you got to think, you know, what's the best for him. You definitely have to keep him because he's another guy like Dan Henderson where he loves fighting, and if UFC cut him, he'd be calling up Scott Coker 30 minutes later. He loves him so much, and he's a pretty big draw. Ryan, I don't think he should go big fight fishing. Maybe he needs to because he needs a victory like that, because when we're looking back later down the road at Uriah's career, he might not even rank in the top 20, you know, 25 pound for pound all time. I mean, this guy's probably in the 50s, and this was once a guy who was, you know, considered one of the best quality fighters in the world. Yeah, man, he'd barely be in the top 100. His career is just, you know, it's sad. He was great when we started. He was a cool guy. But he didn't flake out as bad as who was the guy who beat him? Tyson Griffin. At least he had a little bit better of a career than Tyson Griffin,
Ryan. I'll
tell
you about Uriah.
But he's got to be a gatekeeper, prelim gatekeeper. You know what I mean? That's all that's left for him.
Yeah,
and I think Cruz will beat Demetrius Johnson in the rematch. Cruz is too good. He's on another level.
Yeah, I believe so, too. I think he's just too big, and his movement equalizes Mighty Mouse's movement. That's another conversation for another day. You were touching on Uriah. I think the TJ Dillashaw fight on Fox, just
I'd
the rivalry.
That.
That needs to happen.
But TJ would probably kill him.
Yeah, TJ probably will, but at this point, Uriah's just trying to get the paychecks. And, you know, maybe he has one more. I just, after this fight, he got humiliated. It's either that retirement.
His rival humiliated.
Just absolutely humiliated. Uriah Faber, I really think it comes down to this. He's a little punk, man. I really think that he talks all this shit. He has his little alpha male. I mean, the guy names his team Alpha Male. I mean, that's a punk move. This guy, I mean, that's...
Five-minute warning, Ryan. Should we wrap it up again? Yeah, we got to talk about the biggest upset ever.
We're
going to
go ahead and wrap up Uriah's favor because, and ladies and gentlemen, we are
just like his career.
Talk. Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to talk Brock Lesnar, potential opponents, and Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz on the next show. But we got to touch on it because... Luke Rockhold did say he was injured at the press conference, and Michael Bisping said already trying to get some excuses. And I told you last night, Andrew, I picked Rockhold, but I said something about watching these embedded.
Yeah.
You feel like Michael Bisping was, I don't know, he was in such a comfortable level He looks so confident. I think Michael Bisping is hitting a stride right now after that Anderson Silva fight, his confidence, because this is a guy who had a draw against a prime Rashad Evans. I mean, this is, I mean, and Rashad Evans is an animal, ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget. He is a guy who has all the skill in the world, but has never put it together mentally. And I think now he is so confident. And the fact that we had, I mean, let's face it, all right, it was Chris Weidman, the new Anderson Silva. Then all of a sudden it was Luke Rockhold. And maybe, ladies and gentlemen, that spinning back kick that Chris Weidman tried and he fell on his face and Luke Rockhold got on top of him and pounded him. Maybe that was just a bad mistake and Luke Rockhold has been overrated. But we looked at Luke Rockhold. I got to admit, just looking at this guy, what he did to Machida, I mean, he looked like he was going to be the next unstoppable beast. They're going to say it was because of the injury, but injury, nope. That injury had nothing to do with him catching a left hook right to the
It was him not respecting it, Ryan. I don't know if you got to see the KO yet.
Too cocky.
I found a gift. Ryan, I've never seen a knockout like this. Luke Rockhold goes for a straight jab and, like, is kind of lazy recoiling. When he goes for the jab, Bisping hits.
Andrew. Oh. All right. Andrew Meredith. Wow. Andrew Meredith, are you there? All right. Well, I'm going to finish
here,
up.
I'm here. Just
yeah,
wait.
You just did a whole dial on your phone. I have no idea what that was.
Blatant, oh, I'm sorry about that, folks, but just real quick, laughing. Blatant disrespect. I've never seen a fighter. He threw a lazy jab, was late recoiling it, got hit with the right hook to the gut, and a left cross just put him to sleep. That's what he gets to sport a mixed martial arts.
I cannot believe it.
Can't believe it either. We missed the biggest upset in the UFC in a while.
It really
all
is.
Our teams suck.
Not as big as GSP, Matt Serra, but it's right. The end, Anderson Silva, maybe, but it's right there. Like, the way Luke Rockhold was talking coming into this fight, he dominated Michael Bisping at one point. He thought Michael Bisping had no chance whatsoever. And it's not like Michael Bisping outpointed him over five rounds. He put Luke Rockhold lights out. And this is a guy who doesn't get knocked out often.
No.
And if you think about this, Andrew, one thing about this, Michael Bisping is an absolute star in the United Kingdom. So not only does the UFC have Brock Lesnar back, not only do they have Conor McGregor now in Ireland, and you got to say, they're bringing GSP back if they got Brock Lesnar back. They got Canada. But now the United Kingdom is going to be huge for the UFC. Make no mistake, there is going to be as many British fans coming to the next Michael Bisping defense as there is Conor McGregor fans. Not saying he's going to be as big of a pay-per-view draw, but Michael Bisping is great on the mic, and he has a huge following. Over 1,000 people tweeted him, good luck from the UK. It was on a flag.
Good luck they tweeted him? Wow.
Yeah, from the UK. This guy is loved. Just look at the crowd in the Anderson Silva fight.
And he's a Fox Sports anchor.
Yeah, and he can talk. This guy is an absolute star as a champion.
I love it.
I got to say, I just feel good for Michael Bisping. This is a feel-good moment.
We're about to get cut off, warning.
All right, Luke Rockhold was the bully in this fight, and I just got to say, Michael Bisping, he deserves this. He's had such a rocky career, and to get this belt, it's one of the best moments in sports I can remember in a long time. Go, Michael Bisping. Let's go. Next show, Brock Lesnar, Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. BK Show 1 on Twitter. What an event. Andrew, tell the people where to find you.
At BK Show, Andrew M., as we have our waning second to filler. Also, look out next show. We'll talk about what's next for the count, what's next for, middleweight. Does Rockhold deserve a rematch? Weidman, what's going to happen? Who's going to fight for the title again?
Golden State, 115. The Cavs, 98. Peace,
ooh.
World. D. DK show forever. As we wait.
Okay. I'm not sure why we haven't been cut off yet, folks. It should happen any second.
And there's only one Michael Bisping. There's only one Michael Bisping. The UK loves him, and everyone has a grin because Luke Rockhold got knocked out on the